Hey everyone, welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me today for this episode is a whole different lineup than I think we have seen in forever. So here with me for this episode is Heather. Hi, Heather.
Hello. I am still, like, alive.
You're still here? I think we had you on... No, you were on back in May, I think, or end of April. Yeah, maybe not for a Wednesday, but definitely for a Sunday.
I'm here.
And then Lindsay's back. Hey, Lindsay.
Hey.
Are we not bowling anymore? I meant to ask this the other night.
No.
Okay, what happened to Bowling League? Did you get kicked out?
I did not get kicked out. I just needed a break with work and everything. And then, like, TBD on the work situation. But, like, league was supposed to start again in summer. And I found out, like, Friday my work is potentially going to be, like, an absolute nightmare in, like, July and August. So I was like, I don't need this.
You're not about that life.
Uh-uh. No.
Well, I am so excited you guys are here. Everybody else was busy and had life stuff happening. So Heather and Lindsay are here. This is so great. I don't feel like it's been forever since it's been the just three of us. So
I know. Yeah, fun.
We'll take it. We're going to end this wedding season. We've been in wedding season for the last 6 weeks. And so this is our final wedding season review. It's been a fun month. I think we've read some pretty good books this month with the weddings. I don't know what it is about romance and weddings. Like, why, Heather, do the romance books, when they have a wedding trope in them, why do they just hit so much better?
I think people just in general like weddings, right? Like, people really like to celebrate love, right? Like, you know, people are generally happy when they get married. You know what I mean?
We've had some messy weddings, though, this month, Lindsay. Like,
yeah. I mean, they're also fairly memorable because there's, like, the gamut of weddings. Like, some of them are just, like, super nice and super fun. And then others, it's like your friends have just thrown a curveball and you're like, who even are you people?
So for something a little different for this last episode of weddings, we decided to review You're Cordially Invited, which that word, I don't know why. I was watching Jenna Bush Hagar this morning on Today's Show. She could not say unrequited.
Oh, like that's a tricky one, yeah.
And I can't remember the other one she couldn't do. And I was like, oh. And then as I sit here and I'm like, oh, cordially.
Cordially is an interesting word, I will be honest.
Yeah. So this, we are reviewing You're Cordially Invited. It's currently streaming on Amazon Prime. It is starring Will Ferrell and Reese Witherspoon. Who wants to tell us all the things before we start?
I will.
Okay.
Not sure the release date, but it was this year.
Oh, in January 30th or 28th.
January 30th.
28th or 30th.
Okay, it was in January. We'll go with that.
January.
The tropes are wedding gone wrong, enemies to frenemies to friends, found family, forced proximity, fish out of water, second chance, letting go over the past, over the top side characters. It was like a really good cast. Will Ferrell, Reese Witherspoon, Geraldine Viswathan.
Yeah.
Meredith
that was his
Hagner.
Daughter.
Okay, Meredith Hagner, Jimmy Tatro, Stoney Blyden, and then, oh my God, Leanne, whatever,
the sister?
Yeah, so she's that Southern comedian who talks about, like, her mean daughters. Like, I love her. She's a riot.
It was a really good cast. I do feel I like the casting was really well done. Now, I have to ask this question because I'm curious. Are you a Will Ferrell fan? Do you tend to like Will Ferrell movies? Because I'm going to be whole honest here. He annoys the fuck out of me.
Leanne Morgan, Bonnie, came
in. I love him so much. Like, I love his movies an unhealthy amount.
Like, do you quote, like, Step Brother and Talladega Nights and all that kind of stuff?
Yes, I do. Don't you put evil on me, Ricky Bobby. I say that, like, all the time.
Like, My Man Blue, like, that's, what is that?
Old School?
Like, Old School is, like.
I do like that movie.
I like Will Ferrell.
And Elf. Like,
Elf is a like one of our favorites. You guys, I have teenage boys and I married a frat boy. Like,
Old School is pretty funny. I do love that scene where he's running naked down the street and his wife's like, "What are you doing?" And he's like, "Streaking." And she's like, mm-hmm. "With who, honey? Nobody else is here."
My husband quotes Will Ferrell all the time. He's like, "Let's have a nice little day. Let's go to Home Depot. Maybe go to Bath & Body if we're feeling like there's some quote there." And he loves it. And he's always like, "Oh, we have a nice little day. We're going to the Lowe's and maybe we'll, I'm not joking.
That's so funny.
But he was president of his frat. This was my least favorite Will Ferrell movie.
Which is really funny because this is probably one of my most favorite Will Ferrell movies. Mm-hmm. But I feel like his character was definitely very different in this story than he is in the others. Like, he was manageable. Now, before we go any farther.
Manageable.
He was more manageable in this. I didn't want to murder him. So I do have to give a shout out. So we group watched this together over in Discord on Friday night. Okay. And it was lovely. It was lovely. There were quite a few of us there. But my girl child, I had just started the movie. She comes out and she's like, "Hey, can I DoorDash ice cream? It's like 9:30 at night." I'm like, "Whatever. You do you, boo." So she orders DoorDash and then she sits down and starts watching this with me. And then she has all the comments. And then we get to the alligator part where he brings the alligator into the hotel bedroom and Reese Witherspoon gets bit. I then get a lecture for a solid 20 some minutes about all the alligator inaccuracies.
Well, I think it tied into her like show. So she is like a producer of is it Alive or Dead or something, right?
Well, but that was the alligator thing was he catches it in the water and wrestles it and brings it inside. It was so ridiculous. Anyway, so just so we all are clear, in this review, the alligator's things that happen are incorrect.
Okay.
There are lots of inaccuracies.
You have to suspend reality in the whole alligator stitch.
Yes.
For sure. I mean, much of the movie, really.
Right. So the concept of the wedding is it's two weddings are double booked on the same small island venue. The family, the father of one bride and the sister of the other bride try to preserve the wedding weekend. Okay. So I have so many capacity questions, but also like, she talks about how her grandmother used to live on the island. So are there homes on the island? Why couldn't we rent out homes? Like, I also have bathroom questions because, like, there was not a porta potty in sight, but all those people were staying at that inn somehow.
I had a lot of those same questions, but I'm going to be honest. My main question was, how could Reese Witherspoon potentially be the love interest of Will Ferrell? Because she's not as old as him. Like, in my mind, Reese Witherspoon is still, like, Legally Blonde and Sweet Home Alabama. Like, maybe it's because her and I have not aged at all.
So
maybe
did you look it up?
No, I didn't. I don't want to know. Okay, so
Reese Witherspoon is my age, 49. She was born in 1976.
Mm-hmm.
And Will Ferrell was born in 1967.
Okay.
So it's an age gap of about nine years.
Okay. But still, Reese Witherspoon is not 49. Like, I know in reality she is, but in my mind, that's not even real.
So my problem was, this was my second rewatch on this book. Lindsay, did you catch that it wasn't the sister who was the stripper? It was her intended was the stripper?
Oh, yeah. He was from Thunder Down Under.
Well, no, it wasn't. It was the Southern version of Thunder Down Under. Okay. It was like Cox and something. He didn't really scream male dancer.
No.
Did he for you, Lindsay? Did he scream male dancer for you?
I don't think anybody in the movie screamed male dancer for me.
Yeah. Mm-mm. So I would consider Reese Witherspoon kind of the rom-com queen of our generation. She is the Meg Ryan character, and she, so you know, that type of actress, and she is picking films and scripts that are a little more mature. Does she still have it? Does she still have that rom-com queen-esque? Did you believe her as the love interest in this book, other than, or in this movie, other than she's still 29 and not 49?
Okay. Here is what I think of the movie. I think that they were like, at the end, it was sort of like, oh, why doesn't Will Ferrell and Reese Witherspoon's love, like, why don't those two just, like, fall in love? Like, it was never really, like, I don't know. I just, it felt weird to me. It didn't feel, like, authentic.
I think I had the same thing. And I will say, for me, it is that thing they do, like, you, if to do, like, hate to love like this, or enemies to lovers, it has to be a viable storyline. Otherwise, it's very much instantaneous the minute they get together. And, like, this just felt, like, sad. Like, them getting together just felt sad. It didn't feel, like, purposeful. It felt like two lonely people who just couldn't bear to be on their own anymore. And I didn't really buy it. Like, they didn't really have chemistry on their fighting. It wasn't a happily ever after I was rooting for. If it was a book version of this, I would have DNF'd it.
Or oh, literally. Yeah.
Because I would have been freaking pissed.
I did like the montage of his awkward smile that when the daughter was like, no, he likes you. But I also felt like it was kind of weird that the daughter had to make the statement, no, he likes you.
Like, yeah,
there should have been more clues that they were supposed to be the love interests.
The way he behaved was also so juvenile, like, for somebody that age. What we see a lot with, like, older couple rom-coms, like, I say older couple, but they're not even that old. Like, they're not even old.
I was thinking
like Diane Keaton movies, like, with, like, you know, they're in, like, their 70s. Like, to me, like, those have, like, a sophisticated element. There's comedy, but, like, they're compatible in some way. Like, sometimes there's age gaps, sometimes there's not. But, like, usually you buy the storyline. But, like, here, there was just nothing between them. And they were very, like, immature about the relationship for obvious reasons. I mean, I would have probably been psychotic if I were in that situation, too.
So he acted like silly, like, you know what I mean? Like, super immature. And then she's like, oh, do you have a job? And he's like, yeah, I'm the CEO of Delta. I'm like, what?
Well, like, yeah, that kind of felt like it came out of somewhere of nowhere. But I know what you're talking about, Lindsay, with, like, mature couples, because do you remember the Diane Keaton movie, Because I Said So, with Mandy Moore?
Of that one.
And Mandy Moore is dating the Diane Keaton's love interest son. Like, they're the ones that end up getting married. And you're right, there was, like, a sophistication about them coming together, you know, and about how they handled the relationship. And I don't buy that Will Ferrell was the CEO of Delta. Like, that was ad placement, if ever there was ad placement in a movie.
It felt like, for having such a great cast, I was like, what is happening? Like they thought of all these funny scenes and then they just, like, placed it together.
I would have loved more with the daughter and her fiance, or even the daughter and the sister interacting, because, like, first of all, I looked at that daughter and she was so young, and I just am like, oh, she's so young. And Sydney, like, looks it up and she's like, mom, she's like 25. I mean, that's only 3 years older than Christopher. And I'm just like, shut your mouth. Shut your stupid mouth. We do not need that kind of negative talk in our
also,
lives.
Also, 25 to me feels like, I know that I was married at 26, but I had no business getting married. Like, I don't know.
I was married at 23 and we're together 26 years. I mean, it's not been exactly glamorous, but I'm fairly happy we did it.
Well, right, but it doesn't it just seem so young?
Oh, absolutely. Like, Christopher will be 22 next Saturday. And that's, like, he's the age in which I was engaged to Matt Michael. And, yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure dude washes his underwear. So, like,
I really liked the Reese Witherspoon's sister. I liked her fiance a lot. Like, he seemed very level-headed. Like, you know, marrying into this, like, crazy Southern family. I think they did an amazing job, like, highlighting some of the crazy Southern, like, the four names, like Evelyn, Rose, or whatever, you know?
Well, and her mother, like, I loved the idea of that character that's judging you and you feel like it's you're being judged, but in really, she's not judging you. You just kind of cut off communication. And Jen Ellen says in the YouTube chat, they wanted a slapstick comedy and broad strokes of characters and problems and nothing too deep. And I think that that is my biggest complaint on this movie is nothing was deep. Like, there was not, even Will Ferrell and, like, trying to honor his wife. But first of all, can we talk about the daughter-husband or the daughter-father song that they sang before we knew the history? I was like, that's awkward.
Islands in the Stream. That was awkward. It was uncomfortable to watch.
It was very uncomfortable to watch.
I like that they let Margot have, like, the reactions normal people would have to that song in real life, where she's like, this is so wrong.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So was there any, so Heather, you really liked Reese Witherspoon's older sister who was like bored and desperate and lonely. I liked her brother who does business for businesses about business because do not, we all have someone in our lives who's like, when you ask them what their job is, it feels like they say, I work for a business that helps businesses do business about business.
Or I work in consulting. Oh, yeah. Okay. What do you consult?
What do you consult on? Your pants color? Because I don't know.
The way he called his wife the wife, though, I was like, really, dude? Really?
I refer to my husband by both names, which apparently is very weird and makes some people feel a little uncomfortable.
What do you mean?
Like the fact that I call Mike Burrier Mike Burrier.
Oh, yeah. Well.
That bothers some people. They're like, do you not know your husband's whole name? Or you think we don't know his whole name? I'm like, I don't know. That's just his name. That's what I call him.
To his face?
Yeah.
Oh. Interesting. Okay. Everyone, you do you, I guess. I don't know.
I yell at him. I yell his whole name. I don't know. Lindsay, what was it in this movie that, was there anything in this movie that you did like, that you thought was really funny and you enjoyed?
I mean, the whole thing was over the top. Like, I did enjoy the whole movie. It's definitely not my favorite Will Ferrell. It's probably, like Heather said, my least favorite as well. I thought the alligator scene was really funny. And then I also, when he has the boat coming by to spray everyone, and the person in the boat misinterprets the no more as like one more, and then comes back and collapses the dock with everybody in it. Isn't that during the wedding too?
Yeah. When he's supposed to be getting, they just get on the dock.
Like, how can he fall in love with someone? Like, this would have been so much better as just a comedy without the romantic element between them, because like there's no redemption for that level of meanness.
No.
Between them.
No. I don't disagree with that. I did enjoy the like him running out the clock on the sunset. Like, I did enjoy that level of pettiness. Like, but I am that level of pettiness, so it kind of works for me.
Yeah, I liked that too. I mean, their banter was funny. I agree with Lindsay, though. I think that it probably would have been better if it was just a comedy where they're like friends. Like, to me, that just, you know, makes more sense.
I did love, like, her bridesmaid that was supposed to be the wedding planner. That's like, I have anxiety. And they're like constantly correcting Will Ferrell that you don't go after women like that. And I just was like, I feel like I live this.
What do you mean? You're a wedding planner. I can't make phone calls. I'm like, oh my God.
Yes.
Dude.
I live that in my life with the people that live in this house.
I fully understood it. But I also understood where Will Ferrell was like, huh? How, like, make this make sense? Like,
yeah.
I think that actually just highlighted, like, not the phone call, like, because anxiety is real, but there's other things about them. Like, they're drinking White Claws. And, like, you know, it just highlighted their, like, immaturity, which definitely was what right. the writers
Well, wanted. When they get there to the, when they get to the wedding venue and they're like, and we're going to do shots, like, mm-hmm. Let's get settled. I didn't love the miscommunication scene where the groom, like Reese Witherspoon's character, says, like, uh-huh. I saw the groom kissing a bridesmaid.
That was very cringeworthy.
Yeah.
So I struggled with that scene a lot. But, like, things catching on fire, going after the cake. Mm-hmm. Like, I get it. I don't know. Some of it was just really over the top. One of the things that I do like about this kind of movie is the big, messy family, because mm-hmm. who doesn't have a big, messy family at a wedding or at a celebration? Like, I think that was the most realistic part. Like, I have a funny story. It was my parents' 40th wedding anniversary, and my mom really wanted a party because she just, there were reasons, and ended up being really smart. So I have Mike and I throw my parents a 40th wedding anniversary party. We invite all of their friends in the community to come to this party. And I made like a special punch, and I used my mother's punch bowl, like this crystal punch bowl, but it's not even really a special punch bowl. She earned it with her points from when she sold Tupperware. So it's not like even some fairly family heirloom. It is a freaking simple glass 1970s punch bowl. So we're cleaning up, and my aunt, my mother's sister, who my mom and she did not get along very well at this time in their lives. And my aunt's like, comes up to me and she's like, I see you used my punch bowl. I would like it back. And I'm like, huh? And my mother was like, I'll give you the fucking punch bowl, and was like ready to like throw it off the table. And it was, and I'm like, wow, I'm glad we're cleaning up. And they waited until later to come to fisticuffs.
Was she like, I use my points from Tupperware for this. This isn't yours.
Oh, it was a whole thing.
Barb.
And my neighbors were there. Her name was Doris. And my neighbors were there. And we like kind of separated them. And I'm like, this is not the time, you need to go. And my one neighbor, Tracy, was like, okay, Becky, I would pay money to watch your mom beat the crap out of Doris over the punch bowl. She's like, we could pay for Ray and Lynn to go on a trip. And I'm like, okay, we can, I guess.
Doris, come back. Let's fight about the punch bowl.
But who doesn't have messy family stuff like that at celebrations?
Yeah. Or people, like how Reese Witherspoon was like downing wine. Like, I remember that. Like, just downing alcohol to maybe make them shut up.
At one of my cousin's wedding, my aunt put all of the cousins at the table together and just literally brought us gallons of wine at a time. They were just like, we're not even going to pour it in your glass and serve you. We're just going to drop the cauldron right there.
It's a solid plan, actually.
People remember Mike and I's wedding because of the number of kegs that were tapped in the amount of time. Like 26 years later, people will be like, that was the best wedding we were at. It was like 6 kegs by 9 p.m. And I'm like, great, thanks.
My husband's aunts and uncles were dancing on the tables at our wedding.
Fun.
Yeah. Everyone's like, your wedding was so fun. And I was like, yeah, I'm glad you had fun dancing on the tables and they didn't break, because then we would have had to pay for
it. I mean, there's a story where one of the groomsmen showed his piercing that was in his pants to different people, including aunts and mothers, out in the barn.
I'm a little sad I wasn't invited to that wedding.
It was a little wild. It had its moments. So did you have, like, did you have a favorite moment? Did you have a favorite thing within this that you feel like we need to talk about? Or was there a character you loved the most?
I did think Reese Witherspoon's character had the most personal growth.
She did.
I like that element that she, I felt like she got resolution to a lot of loose strings in her life, whereas like Will Ferrell, I don't feel like his character really got, I don't know, I feel like he was still a hot mess at the end there.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Jen Ellen said, and we're just supposed to disregard all the damage done to the venue. Right. Well, Reese Witherspoon's card was the one on file, so.
And he's the CEO of Delta, so I guess it doesn't matter. I'm not buying that. He lived in, like, Georgia suburbia. Like,
no, that's legit. I mean, it was a smaller house. That is legit there. Because Delta Airlines there.
I mean, like, if you're the CEO of a company like that, you make, like, millions of dollars. Like, why are you living in a suburb of Georgia? Like,
no, that's where they live, is like, the suburbs of Georgia in Atlanta.
But they have, like, mansions in the suburbs, and he was just living in, like, a normal house.
He was, yeah.
I also just feel like, would he not know that, like, if he was the CEO, wouldn't he be like, here's the credit card to use for my daughter's wedding?
He did. Like, he says that to the bridesmaid. You had credit card. Why didn't you pay this stuff?
Or PayPal or venue or something. I was like, I'm sorry. Like, that whole part, I guess, to me, I don't know.
Oh, Jen Ellen says it was his home with his wife way before he became the CEO.
Okay, that makes sense. The other thing that doesn't make sense, though, is he would have had a personal assistant. And I'm sorry, but if you were really that in your daughter's business, like, your personal assistant would have been checking up on every single thing that bridesmaid was doing. Like,
right. No, I don't disagree with that.
A guy not, but, like, I can see him having someone, like, he hired to, like, double check and make sure. Because, like, I don't think anybody in there, I don't really think anybody would trust.
Yeah.
That's a lot of responsibility for someone that young. And
So anyway. Rotten Tomatoes sits at 47% on the critics' approval. They praise the book or the movie for warm moments and slapstick, like the alligator gag, but ding it for formulaic plotting and tonal whiplash, which I do agree with this. There is tonal whiplash. Because it feels like the switch from, oh my God, I hate you. Oh, great, you got bit by an alligator, which apparently very inconsistent if you ask the girl child, to, like, we're best friends and in love.
Yeah, and the sister's stripper husband, soon to be husband, was a medic in the army, but is now Thunder from Down Under.
Well, and, you know, he gave blood from a pregnant person. And then Sydney just kept saying they'd have to go to the emergency room. Her arm would either be broken or, at minimum, even if it was just a gash, bacteria, mom, bacteria. Like, you'd need some antibiotics.
Oh, yeah. And, like, yeah, there's a whole bunch of things. Like, I love my brother, but I also don't think that I'd be like, yeah, just hook me up to him to give me blood.
Yeah.
I'd be like, let's, like, medevac me out of here, or.
Right. Right.
And the dock not being, like, safe, where the guy's like, I don't want to get married on the dock. It doesn't look safe. And I'm...
But he's blood to blood. You know, it's fine.
Liz, you know what this movie reminded me of? In Quinn books, there's just, like, a lot of jam-packed random elements in it that don't really add to the plot in any kind of way.
Megan Quinn, is that what you said?
Make sense. Yeah, Megan Quinn. And the things don't make sense. Like, there's so much that doesn't make sense. And it's like, if you can read it and suspend all reality, you'd probably be fine. and any expectation that the characters will have, you know, an ounce of communication skills.
I felt like it was Pippa Grant. That to me, it was Pippa Grant. There was so much chaos, so much extra that was unnecessary, unneeded. The characters are never fully fleshed out. You sit here going, huh? Really? And to me, it reads like a Pippa Grant book.
And the fact that they got all of these really great actors and actresses to buy into this was shocking.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's do our thumbs up, thumbs down. So, Heather, would you give this movie a thumbs up or a thumbs down? Thumb sideways.
I mean, like, whatever.
Yeah. I'm thumb sideways too.
Some side. I liked it the first time I watched it. It is not something to watch a second time. Once you've lived it, you've lived it. I would say for something funny to watch, it works. But just don't go in with a whole lot of expectations. It's mindless. It's something you can sit there and have playing in the background, or if you just need something on to keep you company, it works for that. So did you have any books that you think have similar vibes to the movie? So I'll give you mine. I went with messy family kind of vibes, messy wedding family stuff. So 2 Weeks' Notice by Whitney G., The Unhoneymooners by Christina Loren, The Worst Best Man by Mia Sosa, For All Time by Jude Devereaux, Swoon by Lauren Roe, Hooking Up by Helena Hunting. That's the one where the groom of the bride is getting a blowjob in the closet during the wedding reception. It's very funny. The Wedding Date by Jasmine Gilroy and To Have and Hold by Lauren Lane. And those just all have really messy family drama at weddings. Lindsay, did you have any?
Yeah, is it I think it's the Earn Your Extra Credit one by Megan Quinn, where they're like at the wedding and it's like a whole disaster. So very similar. Like this movie reminded me a lot of that book.
Okay.
Where it's like very much at the end, you don't even believe that they ever want to be together.
What about you, Heather? Did you come up with any?
I didn't.
No.
I don't read much rom-com.
That's okay. Okay, so I put together mixtape songs for our mixtape challenge. So because you guys listened, watched the movie, listened to this podcast episode, you can use it as an entry to summer reading if you want. So here are some songs that you might have on your mixtape that have this vibe for this movie. So Just Like Heaven by The Cure, Speechless by Dan Plesce, All Too Well by Taylor Swift, the 10-minute version, Raise Your Glass by Pink, Shut Up and Dance, Walk the Moon, and then bonus tracks, Love Me Like You by Little Mix and Marry You by Bruno Mars. Those were my songs. Do you have any songs for the mixtape? What do you got, Lindsay?
Hot Mess by Cobra Starship.
Perfect. That's a good
Oh,
one.
that's a one.
It's a very good one. Okay, so that is a wrap on this week's episode. We hope you enjoyed our deep dive into You're Cordially Invited. We will be back Sunday night at 9 p.m. on the YouTube. But we start our summer schedule. So this was our last Wednesday episode for the summer. Make sure you subscribe to our newsletter, follow us on all the socials. We will drop some random fun episodes throughout. Probably most of it will be over on Patreon and Patreon content. But we'll announce when we're coming back, what we'll be reading when we come back. I think all of us are hoping to spend the summer kind of updating our reading lists and books that we recommend. Just again, make sure you follow us on socials, check out, sign up for our newsletter. You can do that over on our website. I think that's everything. Did I miss anything, guys? Until next time, everyone, happy reading.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.